You hear that? It's rain. I don't know why. I don't know why you'd do it. Well, A, not have a roof, Major League Baseball. And B, wait almost 2 hours in the rain to watch the Brewers and the Reds play yesterday down at Cincinnati. The Milwaukee Brewers, lengthy rain delay. In fact, I got a warning in my email from the Brewers Radio Network at about 11 o'clock a.m. being like, hey, weather's not looking good in Cincinnati. Just think about that. Prepare yourselves. There might not be a game. Well, yeah, I look at the weather report like any individual, I guess, and saw that it was about 65% chance of rain starting at 5-6 o'clock in Cincinnati. Brewers started at 5:40. All right, I'll strap in. They pulled the tarp out, I don't know, around like 2 or 3 o'clock for the Reds. I'm like, all right, that's not a good sign. And the rain started. And the rain never let up. From 5:50 our time to 7:30 is when that thing got underway. 7:25, I think, 7:30, somewhere in that range. While I was listening to the radio broadcast, they were saying that there were about maybe 15 people sitting in the stands waiting for the game. They didn't give it an exact start time for quite some time. So those people just sat there in the rain, out in the elements, for almost 2 hours to watch the Milwaukee Brewers take on the Cincinnati Reds. My question for you guys, would you wait sitting? Now, keep in mind, this doesn't apply for American Family Field. They have a roof, as I feel like every Major League Baseball team should have. Would you wait around for almost 2 hours sitting in the rain in a ballpark with nothing happening on the field because it's raining besides looking at a tarp? Would you sit for almost 2 hours? And if you want to go get food or beverage, you need a small bank loan. A handful of people waited almost 2 hours for baseball to begin at Great American Ballpark. And they were Reds fans. Brewers won. Let's go. 7-2. We'll get into it. Wade Miley returns. Kinger asked, how come Wade Miley didn't get the win? You need to go. The first is a starting pitcher must complete a minimum of 5 innings to earn a win. So a failure to do so results in the ineligibility to be the winning pitcher. That's why Bryce Wilson got the win last night. Wade Miley did not go 5. It's a little over 4. And he is awesome. Christian Yelich, MVP. Yeah, baby. Christian Yelich, unbelievable. Jackson Chourio, too, getting it going. Brewers get another win, by the way, out of the NL Central. Another managerial loss for the Cubs. Cubs fans freaking out on Greg Clounsell. And speaking of this, you hear this? You hear that? That's rain. You know what else is jamming us up? Hello, friends. Hello, friends. The azaleas just needed a little extra water today in Augusta. As the start of the Masters has been delayed. Won't be teeing off for an hour or two, but we have been delayed at the Masters in beautiful Augusta. Rain is delaying the start of a tradition unlike any other. Be patient. We'll see John Rahm can repeat. When some golfers' wives have babies, two of them are pregnant, will they say, I don't need to see the birth of my child? I just made the cut of the Masters. Not going anywhere. Sorry, hon. Will we see Tiger Woods, who has, speaking of babies, the opposite approach, abstained from sex leading to the Masters, to just solely focus on golf? What will happen? Will Lefty continue to make bets on and off the course? We'll find out. But it's just rain delayed at Augusta, Georgia. I think Bucks got to win last night. No rain there. They're inside. Bucks got to win. And no Giannis, no problem. No Giannis Antetokounmpo, no problem. Giannis been ruled out for the rest of the regular season. Bucks beat the Magic, another playoff team, 117-99. Okay, maybe it was Giannis who was the problem all along. I don't know. Maybe Pat Bev always needed to be in the starting lineup. Yeah, but no Giannis. We even got Thanasis minutes last night. We got Thanasis minutes. Maybe that's what we needed. The wrong Antetokounmpo was actually holding this team back. Damian Lillard, he needed to gel with not Giannis, but Thanasis. So got Bucks. Packers chattered today, some NFL stuff. And we got to get caught up some criminals. I'll explain. I think we were talking around this time yesterday about, state of college sports with the transfer portal, blah, blah. You know, Pandora's box been open.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll never be closed.
Never.
So John Calipari made it official. He is now the coach of Arkansas. And he had a very interesting press conference. I have a little clip for John Calipari.
Merle Hodge is the one who said Drake May is the kind of guy you'd get fired over.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Merle. John Calipari had this to say.
I'm jacked about another opportunity. I'm like, let's go. Now, I met with the team. There is no team. So now, I got to... Hunter's really extremely confident, but we got to get a roster together. And some of it is a little bit of everything, but we will.
There's one player on the Arkansas basketball roster. There's one player.
Go off to
John Calipari says, I met with the team.
There is no team.
There is no team. You met one guy. Yeah.
How'd you like to be that guy?
I'm excited to get going, man. I just met with the team. There is no team. There's one guy. Cool. But I'm excited. Let's go. Dude, hey. I don't know. I think about this. It's like, okay, you got to have a lot of faith in John Calipari.
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing, though, RJ, to have faith in John Calipari? I think, how fast can he have immediate success? Can he immediately have success for Arkansas?
It's sure. I mean, he still can bring in talent.
Yeah.
We've seen that.
Yeah.
He has one
guy's on the team.
Yeah. And it's a walk-on, I bet.
It's his jock washer that he brought with him.
Yeah. There you go.
It's Isaac Lindsay. Just like, I like up right
now. Yeah, yeah. Just transferred here.
What the hell are all these, what are all these moves going to start getting made here? Transfer portal's open. I mean, it's like over 1,500 kids. When the hell is, what's this going down? I need some names. You know,
they're all waiting for that first shoe to drop.
Let's see here. G-Dub said AJ Store to Arkansas. Watch it happen. Well, he wants $1 million. You know, apparently Kansas said no to his million. Said, here's 750. Take it or leave it. He left it. Tyson Chicken just dropped buku money for Arkansas to get Calipari, and I'm sure players coming in. So maybe he can get his milli over there. I don't know. Arkansas immediate success for John Calipari. I would think so, but I read that and saw that clip of him being like, yeah, I met with the team. There is no team, but excited to get going.
There is.
Oh, college basketball. Good luck.
They had a bunch of four-star guys on that team.
Arkansas? Well,
transfer ratings of four stars.
Arkansas?
Yeah.
Well,
How many of those guys do you think end up at USC?
I wonder. I was looking at some mock drafts, and a bunch of Kentucky guys were getting drafted in the NBA. I know Calipari wanted to maybe take some of his guys with him, but there's a couple going in the NBA. And the number one pick is going against some French guy. A French guy.
2 years in a row?
Dude, what's happening? What's happening? I know there's talent everywhere in the world. What's happening with the number one picks and Americans?
They're starting to go with more highly skilled players rather than athletes who happen to play basketball.
I mean, Wemby, that dude is, he's
doing things.
He's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Butcher his name.
Oh, do it. Butcher it.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's Zachary. Z-A-C-C-H-A-R-I-E. Zachary. Zachary. Rishasha.
What was that?
R-I-S-A-C-H-E-R.
Rishar?
Zachary Rishar?
Sure.
Zachary Rishar. Going to the Detroit Pistons out of France. Oh, and then the second pick is another guy, France. Alexandre Sa. So there's two guys out of France. And then it goes back to the good old US of A. Well, yeah, the French Revolution happening right now, started by in the NBA. And look, dude, look at all the European guys just balling in the NBA, though, balling in the league.
Yeah.
They're everywhere, and they're really good, and they're fun to watch.
It's crazy what structured staying with one team and, like, learning the game rather than just go beyond an all-star team can do for you.
Jokic, Giannis, Doncic, Luka Doncic, Wemby. There's so many guys just balling hard right now.
Yeah.
And they're really fun to watch.
Bronny James.
Wait, huh? Yeah, he declared for the NBA's draft.
He's still in the transfer portal, though.
Can't miss prospects, says LeBron James Jr. and Bronny James Jr. If you ever seen the beaches of Brazil... I said, hey, hey, mama, the way you move. Damn, Curvilicious in Brazil. Packers going to Brazil to take on the Eagles. Will Rob Reichel take a Jet Airliner to Brazil, Sao Paulo, Robbie, to go check out week one on a Friday? Packers, Eagles? Hey, Rob.
Yeah, I got to somehow get that worked into the budget, Evo. You know how tricky budgets are these days for most media organizations. Well, I'll spend the next few months working on that, and I'll get back to you.
Trying to figure out how to get in the budget, too, because I already requested to go to Ireland for Badgers in Pitt. What is that, 2027? They're like, dude, how much airfare do you want here? I'm like, well, they're years apart. They're years apart, Robbie. Come on.
I hear you. It didn't work out for me a couple years ago to get in the budget when they went and played the Giants, Evo.
Probably a good thing you didn't go to that game. That game sucked.
Overseas. Yeah, and if you remember, Evo, that was really a critical point in that season of 2022. And this will be fascinating because we're gonna figure out if Matt LaFleur learned anything from that, because, you know, he wasn't real happy about having to make that trip, and he whined and he cried about it most of the week. And you could see it. There was a trickle down through the building, and not only did they lose the Giants game that Evo, but they came back the next week and they got smoked by a really bad New York Jets team.
So, I'm glad to bring that up, Rob, because let me ask you this, buddy. By the way, Rob Reichel, Forbes.com, Conley Media, check him out on Twitter at Rob Reichel. So, in that Giants game in London, Matt LaFleur later said that he had the option to take a bye after that, because that's what you do when you travel internationally, and he didn't. And it kind of, Rodgers messed his thumb up, and then the Packers couldn't quite get it right. What? Okay, so week one against the Eagles in Brazil, you get an extra 2 days off because it's a Friday night? Like, what? Like, how is it fair coming back from Brazil?
Well, at the end of the day, we have situations every week now, right, in that league where it isn't fair. Teams play on a Sunday at 3:30, and they turn around and they play a Thursday night game, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they are going to have 9 days when it's all said and done, Evo. You're obviously right. You're not going to have the option this time of a bye in week two. It's way too early in the season. The league's not going to do that in any way, shape, or form. But Evo, I mean, it's about a 10-hour plane ride if you go straight shot, And my guess is that they will. They're certainly not going to send the Packers over there with a whole lot of delays or anything like that. So it should be a you know, they're going to have to get to Chicago. My guess is, and there's maybe a 10-hour straight shot or something from there. But Evo, they're going to be home sometime in the middle of the day. Let's say on that Saturday.
Okay.
Get a nice long weekend to recoup. Right. Monday is a day off for those guys most of the time, anyways. Especially if they win, they call it Victory Monday, and they do next to nothing over there. Tuesday is a league mandated off day, Evo. So, I mean, these guys might have 96 hours when it's all said and done before they're doing anything for the most part again on the practice field. They'll come in, Evo, and they'll get their treatment and they'll do some weight work and stuff like that. They'll do minimal things here and there. But Evo, coming back in week two and laying an egg, if they did, is absolutely no excuse. Matt LaFleur learned a valuable lesson a couple of years ago when he didn't take that bye, like you mentioned, against the Jets. I know it's something they would probably do different this time around if this game was in week eight or something like that. He wouldn't shortchange his guys those couple travel days that wound up hurting him, I think, a little bit in that Jets game. And if you remember, the Packers season kind of went south after that stretch where they, because if you remember, Evo, when they were overseas, they led the Giants 20-10 at halftime and wound up scoring a whopping 2 points in the second half when the defense got them a safety late in the game, and they lost that one 27-22. So, no, I mean, Evo, there's no excuse if they get off to a rocky start. I mean, other than the fact we'll have to see what the schedule looks like, right?
Yeah.
And we'll find that out next month. But all things considered, Evo, my guess is the league gives them a home game. It's probably not one of the more daunting teams on the schedule. There's certainly ways the league can adjust and try to give teams like Green Bay and Philadelphia a little bit of a cushion, a little bit of a break coming back from a trip like that. And that's probably what's going to happen.
Robbie, so if it is a home game and they give them a less daunting of a team, obviously they released the 2024 opponents. Obviously, Bears, Lions, Vikings, Cardinals, Texans, Colts, Dolphins, Saints, Niners. Those are your home opponents in 2024.
Yeah, I figured you were going somewhere, Evo, with a Bears joke there.
Well, I think the Vikings are going to be the worst of the division here. What say you? The Bears or Vikings take last in the NFC North?
I mean, the Cardinals are obviously an ideal opponent there, right? The Colts would be a fine opponent there. The Saints would be a fine opponent there, right? I mean, you're looking at non-playoff teams from 2023. They're going to have to come to your building, and my guess is that's who Green Bay will play in week two. They're not going to make them play the NFC champion 49ers coming off a trip like that, right? And who else did you say? Miami? I mean, Miami's going to be near the top of that AFC East. Miami was a playoff team a year ago and, will be very strong again this upcoming season. So, I mean, Evo, it's not rocket science. Mark Murphy's done a lot of work behind the scenes to get this set up. He's never going to come out and say this kind of stuff, Evo, but you're asking for some concessions along the way coming back. I'm sure Green Bay thought 2 years ago, Evo, that the New York Jets were going to be, nobody in that league obviously it's not like college football, Evo, where you show up on a Saturday and you're a 38-point favorite or something like that. So, nobody is a downright absolute patsy that you go out there and whack on a given Sunday, but you can certainly play the odds. And I would think coming off that trip, Green Bay is going to have a team in week two that they should be at least a touchdown favorite over.
Hey, Rob, speaking of, and we'll get to the draft in a second here, but speaking of Mark Murphy, so you got the Packers in Brazil. Then you got the NFL draft going to be in Green Bay next season. Mark Murphy at the end of his tenure here, because he's got to be done when he's 70, just how the board operates. Is he kind of just, is Mark Murphy like throwing himself just this party out the door here, making the Packers like worldwide with Brazil and then the draft? Is Mark Murphy like putting the cherry on top of his sundae before he's done?
He's been a busy boy, hasn't he? I mean,
he has.
And we'll get into this more, I'm sure, in the next year. So it's going to be a really interesting chapter of Packer history, isn't it? His tenure there. I mean, they've absolutely blown up financially through this time. I mean, he's led them. Now Bob Harlan was as good as it gets. Don't get me wrong, but you know, Green Bay was stuck in 1987 for the most part, a lot of financial things that they did, and Mark Murphy, like it or not, Ebo, and most people do like it, has turned that place into a destination spot when it comes to some of these, you know, outside activities. He's brought them up to kind of up to speed in terms of where a lot of organizations are, from the financial side of things. He put his fingers, Ebo, into the football side of things after Ted Thompson was replaced, what was that, 6 and a half years ago now. And he certainly took a greater role on the football side of things when he moved on from Ted in January of 2018 and hired Gutekunst. They do have a Super Bowl under his watch, Ebo, in 2010, whether or not you want to say, you know, he didn't hire Ted Thompson, he didn't hire Mike McCarthy. You know, he was still the team president at that point in time. Getting the NFL draft next year is going to be absolutely remarkable for that community and really the whole state, Ebo, because you're going to see people over to Madison and people down to Milwaukee, you know, renting out their homes and things like that, because Green Bay just doesn't quite have the hotel rooms to put on an event like that. But people are going to flock to the area. It's going to be such a remarkable boon for that economy and for, you know, for everybody locally. It's going to be a week-long party, Ebo. I remember when LSU came for a football game there, Ebo, whatever that was, 2015, 2016, and people partied all week. And I was over there covering the team, and, you know, on a Tuesday, I'd see 300 LSU fans roaming around town going crazy, and Badger fans had shown up by about Wednesday or Thursday, Ebo. And the draft is going to be like that. The draft is going to be a week-long wild event for them, and you're exactly right. Now he's got two trips in a 3-year window here where the Packers are going worldwide and growing the brand worldwide. So, I mean, I know Mark Murphy takes a lot of heat. He's goofy and things like that, and people want to throw some stones. But I think when we look back at his overall body of work when it's all said and done, I mean, Ebo, especially if they have a really good run here coming in them, either in 2024 or in 2025, shortly after he leaves, you know, he'd get a lot of credit for that too. If they can make another Super Bowl run here and he has that to his resume, Ebo, in the next couple of years, and I certainly think that's a distinct possibility, we're going to be talking about Mark Murphy in really glowing terms, I think, historically.
I just can't get over how he looks like Alfred E. Newman from Mad Magazine. Like, I just, every time I look at it, it's like Howdy Doody or Alfred E. Newman. I'm like, oh, look. Anyway, Rob, anyways, that's my cross to bear, Robbie. Hey, Rob.
Yes, sir.
we got the draft 2 weeks from today, Robbie. 2 weeks from today. We got the draft upcoming.
Cannot wait. Isn't this fun?
By the way, I think that Thursday I might be heading to New Orleans that day, or it's the day after. So I'll let you know my schedule, Robbie.
Get over to Green Bay. That's where the action is.
Yeah, I'll bring only beads. All right, we'll start throwing around like I was in New Orleans. Yeah, we'll see some things up there.
You'll probably have more fun there than I will sitting in a media auditorium talking to draft picks over the phone.
Rob, we were talking Cooper DeJean last time. He had his pro day since we last talked, and my God, he was like flying off the charts. And you know, Packers got a lot of draft capital, Robbie. I think you did mention the Packers could potentially trade up. Could we see a scenario where the Packers trade up to get someone like a DeJean? I think you said maybe that he'd even be there for the Packers, but that was before his pro day. Or would we see a scenario where, like, the Packers stay pat or they trade down?
That's the crazy fun part of what's coming up here for Brian Gutekunst, right? He has more draft picks than anybody out there. He's got 5 of the first 91. He's got 11 overall. And, Ebo, I'll be honest with you, they don't have 11 openings right now on that roster. The last couple of years, they did. I mean, he took 23 players total, Ebo, in the last two drafts, and he needed them. They were rebuilding the roster. He knew they had all this dead cap money coming with players like Aaron Rodgers, and they had to get rid of his $40.5 billion last year. They're in far better cap situation this draft, Ebo, and he's restocked the roster because his 2022 and his 2023 drafts were both outstanding, and most of those guys are around. Make you know, and let's be honest, Ebo, when it comes to NFL terms, they're cheap labor. You don't pay draft picks much. You pay guys on their second contract. So the Packers are really in the catbird seat here, Ebo, with whatever it is they want to do. And I'll tell you right now, there's three major needs on the roster. There's an offensive lineman. They've got to add depth, Ebo. You know, they cut Bakhtiari. They lost Runyon in free agency. They lost Yash Dyson in free agency. They're okay, Ebo. They're pretty good, 5-6 deep. They need three more probably coming out of this draft, three guys that are going to make the roster. They need inside linebackers because in this move, Ebo, from a 3-4 to a 4-3, their outside linebackers are now defensive ends. They need guys to play with Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie. And they need help in the back, Ebo, whether that's a corner or a safety, probably both at some point in time. Can you count on Eric Stokes? That's a tricky question right now. Is Carrington Valentine a guy you want to play 800-900 snaps? Probably not. So you got to get yourself a second corner along the way, and they're in the middle of redesigning or reshaping that safety group. So they're gonna need a rookie in all likelihood, Ebo, that comes in and plays. Now, he's got a lot of versatility. He's a guy that's really interesting. Could he be there, Ebo, when they pick at 25? It's probably right on the cusp. He's probably between 20 and 28 somewhere, just depending on how teams, you know, who the specific team is and how exactly it is they view him. Green Bay could certainly just hold pat at 25, Ebo, but if they get some pretty good intel that he's going to be gone at 20, gone at 22, they've obviously got the firepower, Ebo, to jump up and get whoever it is that they want at that spot. I mean, Ebo, they've got picks 25, 41, and 58 in round two, and then 88 and 91 in round three. I mean, they are loaded with draft capital, and Gutekunst can move all over the board, whether that's up or down. Now, the point I made earlier, Ebo, is they don't have room for 11 guys right now on this roster. There's just not that many needs on this football team. I would love them personally to go quality over quantity, excuse me, and jump up and get a guy at 15 that they're in love with, get a guy at 17, even get a guy at 12 or something that they're in love with. And Ebo, we know how this league works, right? It's your superstars that get you over the hump. You win Super Bowls with absolute rock stars on the roster. Usually it's not depth. Usually my top 10 players need to be better than your top 10 players to go ahead and win Super Bowls. And I think Green Bay is really deep in a lot of spots right now, Ebo, but I'm not sure they have quite enough guys that totally tilt the field. And if they could jump up and get one of those guys in this draft, Ebo, that turns into one of those difference-making guys, whether that's a Pro Bowl inside linebacker, whether that's a Pro Bowl left tackle, you know, whether that's a Pro Bowl corner or safety, Ebo, something like that, and Gutekunst jumps up and grabs that player at 15 by giving up picks, let's say, 25 and 41 or even 25 and 58, he's still going to have a lot of picks the rest of this draft, Ebo, to go ahead and do what he wants to do. So it's going to be really wild and really interesting to see what path Gutekunst takes Green Bay down in this draft, Ebo.
Yep, can't wait, Robbie. 2 weeks away, baby. Hey, before I let you go, my man, we'll follow along, Forbes.com, Conley Media, Rob Reichel on Twitter, as always, Robbie. Brewers, Rob. Brewers doing it again last night. Wade Miley, 37 years young. Christian Yelich, another homer. Come on, feeling good, Rob. Feeling good. Can you not?
So I'll just say this. What are they? Well, 11 games in?
Yep.
So that's in essence one football game in the regular season, right? You know, you equate it, right? You play 162 baseball games, 17 football games. It's roughly a 10-1. This, in essence, Ebo, is you going absolutely crazy after the Bears, or after the Packers beat the Bears last year in Week One, and you getting that giddy.
I got giddy Week One when Aaron Jones ran wild all over the Bears. It was awesome.
Yeah, and then the next 2 months were a struggle. I'm just saying, you know, Evo, to me, you usually need 40 baseball games to determine where a team is going, where it's headed, what its strengths are, what its weaknesses are. That's a quarter of the season. That's like playing a month of the NFL season. So, hey, good for them. It's fun. There's a lot of interesting young talent on that team. They've been fun out of the shoot, Evo. But it's one NFL game. This is no different than last year on September 10th when Green Bay went to Chicago and won Jordan Love's debut. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. But it's
I'm all gas, no brakes. All gas, no brakes, Rob.
All gas, no brake, and until it's time to beat Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game.
Then we pull the e-brake. Then we pull that e-brake. Hey, Roger.
Yeah, and then you send out Mason Crosby instead of sending out Aaron Rodgers.
Now, why'd you? Damn it, Rob. Hey, Rob, we had I won't explain how we got to it, but who is the most famous person you met? Really quick. Most famous person you met besides Mike McCarthy?
I mean, are we talking guys like Tom Brady
to
and
you,
Brett Favre?
To you, the most in your eyes, the most famous person you've ever met.
You know, Evo, here's what I'll say, and the last thing in the world I am with my job is starstruck.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys put on their pants the same way as everybody else. They just happen to be really gifted in a certain sport. But when I was about 19 or 20 years old, Evo, I was covering the Brewers one summer for the Associated Press. And I spent about 10 minutes with Roger Clemens, who at the time was Rocket Roger, and he owned the baseball world at that time.
Yeah.
That one I will say as about a 20-year-old kid, that one knocked me on my socks.
Love it.
You know, knocked me on my feet a little bit.
And Rob, you don't have to explain. Just one last question, then I'll let you go. I swear, I've met both of these because I was trying to figure out the most famous person I met: Slash or Brett Favre. Who's more famous?
I mean, I would have to say Favre, Evo.
It's hard, though.
Boy, Slash is a fun one.
Yeah.
You know, it's two totally different demographics,
I know.
Right?
So, Favre or Slash? I don't know.
I think to the average American knows Brett Favre probably a little bit before he knows Slash, but they're both outstanding ones, Evo.
Rob,
they're both a lot of fun.
You're outstanding and always fun, brother. We appreciate your time. Thanks for the extracurriculars today, too, Robbie. We love you, buddy.
I'll tell you what. You, Favre, and Slash running around Madison, I'd pay to see that night up in town.
A beer wouldn't be safe, Rob. I'll tell you that one.
No, it wouldn't. All right, buddy. You have a great day.
See you, Robbie. What Charles Barkley say? Don't meet your heroes. Or I'm no one's role model. Got some bad boys out there. Got some bad boys out there. Uh-oh. I don't even know where to begin here. The Chief Superfan, the guy that wore a werewolf outfit. He was all over the broadcast. People loved him online. He was, the Chiefs broadcast would plaster him all over. He's always front row. And then he got busted for robbing like 8 banks. Robbing charities. What you gonna do? And he did it all to fund his gambling habit and to go to Chiefs games. Well, his sentence came down. A judge ordered him to pay back $10.8 million. $10.8 million that the Chiefsaholic Xavier Babador has got to pay back. You probably saw him. He's in the werewolf costume. He's got to repay that, and he's going to the clink as well. Sorry, buddy. What else happened now? Shohei Ohtani's ex-interpreter stole $4.5 million from Shohei. He's now facing federal charges related to his alleged theft of millions from the slugger. Uh-oh. Sorry, bud. $4.5 million for his gambling debts. It always goes back to gambling, doesn't it? Then there's the Chiefs wide receiver. Speaking of the Chiefs, he's got a bunch of charges now out against him. He's effed. As he did a huge, multi-car pileup in Dallas? He's got a long laundry list. I got to find it for you. It's a lot of things. And then there's this. You ever been in an altercation in a drive-thru line? A fast food drive-thru line? Terrell Suggs was at Starbucks. And listen to this. Terrell Suggs on Tuesday was arrested, stemming from a March incident where he allegedly brandished a gun and threatened to kill a man during an argument at a Scottsdale, Arizona Starbucks. According to the court documents, the altercation happened at the drive-thru at Starbucks at 12:28 p.m. in the afternoon, March 10th. Apparently, Suggs had driven past the ordering speaker of Starbucks. Oops. He then put his car into reverse, his Range Rover, and backed up to try to get back to the speaker and then ran into another man's vehicle. Apparently, there was no damage to the car, but both drivers obviously exited their vehicles, and an argument ensued, but the two eventually then returned to their vehicles, made their orders. However, Suggs was about to leave the area. Then he flipped the man off, the man he backed into, which then kicked off another verbal argument. According to the documents, the man then swore at Suggs. Suggs then challenged him to a fight and called him a P-word-ass cracker. Hell yeah. Before saying, "I'll kill your B-ass." Then Suggs apparently pulled out a handgun and left. All over a Starbucks order gone wrong. I have seen some altercations in a drive-thru before. Here's a McDonald's, but there's Terrell Suggs, now arrested. Threatened to kill him. I love the word cracker. Called him a cracker and brandished a gun, all because he wanted a mocha frappuccino or something. Unbelievable. Brewers, Christian Yelich. Oh, dude. I was told we can't say till June that he's back. Why can't I say it right now? Christian Yelich is back. Another dinger last night. That's five. Brewers tearing it up. Turn that ball up, baby. Cheerio. Yeah, man. Who else got involved last night? It was just, and they had seven runs. Killing it. Bryce Wilson, he got the win. Wade Miley only went four. 37 years young, right off the IL, got it done. Offensively, yeah, Blake Perkins got a donger. William Contreras, seven RBIs in the first three games of the series. Four-game set. Weather in the forecast. Bummer. Hopefully, it's not like last night where they waited an hour and 50 minutes to get the game going. But Wade Miley, dude. Pat Murphy just said his future looks good. Wade Miley came up the mound, said he was feeling good. I got comments from Murph momentarily about Miley and Yelly. Let me just fade a little T-Pain there. Thank you, Tallahassee Pain. So last night, I mean, Christian Yelich is getting it going right away. Yelly,
And a fly ball to deep right. That'll do it. And then some for Christian Yelich. It's gone. A two-run blast for Yelly, and he stays hot.
Stays hot. Been hot.
Fifth home run of the season for Christian Yelich.
Sheesh.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, indeed. Pat Murphy. Murph. Murph's Maulers asked about Yelly's two-run shot. What do you think? How was it?
It did. You know, he's had good success against Hunter. And, I felt like that, hitting that ball out of the ballpark really gave us the lift we needed to get started. And then we kind of just kept chipping away, adding on. It was good. Guys at the bottom are, you know, helping us a bunch.
Hang on. Do we have some breaking news here? Is this real? Is this true? The juice? Is this true? The juice, O.J. Simpson? Is he dead? Did he die? Is this happening? I just saw that. Did O.J. Simpson just die? WTMJ is reporting this? The juice is dead? O.J. Simpson, done? Really? Huh. Looking right now, breaking news. If it's... I think it's true. There you go. Wow. From a famous football player, a great actor, to... didn't he do it? To, potential murderer? O.J. Simpson, I think, has passed away at the age of 76 after a long battle of cancer. Wow. Just finding out. Okay. The controversial 1995 acquittal for the murder of his wife and her friend. Buffalo Bills, Naked Gun. What a movie. Yeah, that's true. He's surrounded by his children and grandchildren after a long battle of cancer. His family asked that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace. So, O.J. Simpson. Wow. Crazy. Wild. All right. There you go. Not to interrupt the Brewer stuff, but I just saw Mike and Porter drop that down. I was like, no way. But yeah, there it is. O.J. Simpson passed away. That's I mean, it's sad in its own way, right? I mean, to a degree. I love them. Interesting. There's a mind F for you right there. All right, back to the Brewers really quick here after the O.J. Simpson news. Yeah, the juice is dead. And do you say R.I.P.? Like, I mean, it's sad to see someone lose their life. O.J. Simpson has died. So, I don't know. What a life. I don't want the life, but what a life of O.J. Simpson. All right, back to the Brewers, though. Wade Miley. I wanted to get to this, too, because Pat Murphy had some comments. Wade Miley coming off the IL. And then he went out there, 56 pitches, four innings. He's pretty good. And he came up the mound still healthy. Pat Murphy talking about, you know, Wade and, you know, this rotation for the Brewers. It needs health because it's kind of thin. But Wade Miley back and, you know, just kind of easing him on into the season is a good thing. Pat Murphy talks about Wade Miley, you know, bringing him slowly back for this season. Here's Pat.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to look at his future and what's best for him, even though he's approaching 50. see, that is funny, isn't it? You know what I mean? But, you know, he had come off in the fourth inning, he came out of the last game. So we just didn't want to accelerate him. He's throwing the ball great. He gave us a huge lift. Just his tempo and the way he controlled the game early gave us breathing room, you know, and that's another thing you can't always see in the box score, but he was terrific. And then when he showed a little sign of fatigue in the stretch, in my opinion, he'll argue about that, but I really don't care. But any guy that old doesn't really remember what's going on inning to inning. So, but he was terrific. He really was. And, you know, gave us a great start to the game, and the guys did their thing on offense, and we played incredible defense. Ortiz was special. And Perkins continues to just impress us with everything he does.
Yeah, so nice to see. I'm a Wade Miley guy. You know, that's the thing, though. Got to stay healthy.